Welcome to the podcast of Reverend Daniel Agbesi. Reverend Daniel Agbesi is the founder and head pastor of Peacekeepers Assembly International, located at Kwabena, adjacent to the community hospital. Reverend Daniel preaches on righteousness, faithfulness, godliness, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. He is the epitome of a virtuous man. Now, let's listen to Reverend Daniel.
I don't know about you, but I'm very excited to be in church this morning. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I don't know whether you are glad and excited. You are not demonstrating your excitement at all. Amen. This is our month of prayer. And we are observing this month with fasting and prayer. It's a 21-day fasting and prayer. We have 14 days to go. If you are not fasting, I encourage you to fast. Amen. If you're on medication, just don't fast. Just be on the medication. But if you're not on medication, you are not pregnant, like myself. If you're not pregnant, please, let's fast. Let's seek the face of God. And God will reward your obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 18 from verse 1 to 8. Luke 18, verse 1 to 8. This year will be a good year for you. You see, you must not measure your life by what the media and people around you are saying. You have to measure your life by the word of the Lord. Amen. God says that, look at the birds. They don't have savings account with Fidelity Bank. They have no farm at Shy Hills. But they eat every day. God will take care of you. God will provide for you. You will not be naked in this year. In the name of Jesus. Luke chapter 18 from verse 1 to 8. The Bible says, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard men. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he will not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Your answer will come speedily. Your turnaround will come speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Can you give it to us in another rendition, New Living Translation, the Message, Bible or something? Any other rendition? Maybe NIV, praise be to God. Go back to verse 1. Verse 1 says, are you still there? One day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. Ask somebody sitting beside you, are you giving up or you are praying? Show that they should always pray and never give up. Verse 2, go ahead. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. Have you ever met an I don't care human being before? Oh, give me a wave if you have. Have you? I don't care. They don't care. They just don't give a damn. They don't care what you think about them. Country broke, country no broke. A widow of that city came to this judge repeatedly, saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. Verse 4. The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people. He knows. Verse 5. But this woman is driving me crazy. May your prayer in this man drive heaven crazy. I say, may your prayer make heaven to stand still. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Say, I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests. Then Jesus said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. 7. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Do you think God is that wicked that you keep crying out to him and he will not mind you? God will mind you this month. Will he keep putting them off? Verse 8. I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? Shout, I have faith. Give it to us another rendition, and then we preach God's word. I tell you, okay, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. For the last time, ask somebody sitting beside you, are you praying or you are giving up? Because there is no middle line. There is no gray area. You are either praying or you are giving up. If you are not praying, you start giving up. If you start giving up, you are not praying. Amen. So we have two groups of people in this place. And they are not Ashantis and Fantis. But the two groups of people are people who are giving up and people who are praying. So the people who are watching me right now, there's a likelihood, there's a high chance somebody has already given up. You are seeing their body here, but the spirit is gone. But I pray that before this service will be over, the prayer anointing will be activated on your life so that you will not give up in Jesus' name. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, prayer is a border to heaven. This widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. Hey, just a prayer is powerful. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? Verse 8, the last verse. I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and that quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Shout, I have faith. I bring God's word title, Prayer That Works. Amen. So my prayer is working this year. Praise be to God. The Bible is not only a book that reveals to us how God desires to have a good relationship with human beings, but also in every way we see how God remains faithful in his commitment to man. Anytime God will have a relationship with any individual, God will make sure that he remains faithful at his end of the relationship. Even in times when men and women become very unfaithful in their relationship with God, God still stands by what he has said. God does not change because you have changed. God does not change. It is men who change. God does not change. It is you and I who sometimes we used to change. We used to turn our back to God. And the people who change are people who suffer consequences of turning their backs to God. Though men change, our God does not change. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 6. He said, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." God does not change. Tell somebody, our God does not change. And his word of promise to you shall not be altered. What he says is what he will do. And as you stay in God in this year, I see you walking in the reality of the word of God for your life. Every prophecy you have received, you will walk in its manifestation. If you have received a prophecy of open doors, you will travel like never before. I say you travel like never before. If you have received a prophecy of healing, get ready. Your days are going to be long. You shall receive and walk in healing like never before. Shout amen like thunder. When Adam fell short of the glory of God because of sin in the Garden of Eden, we were all brought to the falling state. We all fell short of the glory of God. But God demonstrated his love for us by not only wishing for our restoration, but God did something about our situation. He did not say, "I wish that you did not fall. I wish that you will be suffering." No. But God did something to salvage the situation. What did God do? God sent another man called Jesus to undo what Adam did so that we can enjoy the blessing of the glory of God. Is somebody here with me at all? So thank God for whatever thing that has happened to Adam, but we must thank God the more for bringing us Jesus, because everything that happened to Adam that affected our fathers, Jesus came to correct them. This year you see correction of every bad thing that has happened to you. God will correct everything in your life. Shout amen like you are hearing me. Romans chapter 5, verse number 19. Romans 5, verse number 19. The Bible says, "For us by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous." So one person brought poverty into your family, but through you, riches will be restored. It happened that one, because of one person, curse came into your bloodline, but because of you, blessing will be visited upon your family. Verse 21 said, "So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And this very scripture is the gospel. When we say gospel, gospel means good news. This is the good news. This is the mystery of the power of God. And this is the reason Satan cannot stop you. Is somebody hearing me? This is the reason. When you come to accept Jesus with your whole heart and his grace is deposited in your life, it does not matter what is happening to people, you shall be an exceptional one. Therefore, can I pray for you in this year? Instead of death, you shall receive life. Instead of sin, you will walk in righteousness. Instead of pain and sickness, may the joy of the Lord fill your heart. When you shout amen, grace is locating you. Shout amen like you believe it. How did Jesus do it? How did he restore us back to God? How did he correct the errors of Adam? How did he restore us back to God? Jesus obeyed God and went to another garden. Where did man fall? He fell in the Garden of Eden. And Jesus was going to correct what Adam did. He also looked for another garden called the Garden of Gethsemane. Some people call it Gethsemane. I don't know the school they have, but the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus looked for a garden in order to restore what fell from the hands of Adam. And in that garden, Jesus worked in prayer for our restoration. His prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane was important for the framework of our salvation. If Jesus had not prayed,
he wouldn't have been able to carry the cross. Because somewhere in the prayer, it's like, Father, it looks like this cup is too heavy. I said I would do it, but if only you can send someone else. If it is my will, let it pass over me. But something in the prayer gave him some kind of idea and strength to face the cross. Is somebody hearing me at all? By that prayer, we saw that no matter how people pledge their prayer support for you, it is better to stay in prayer for your own self, because people will be tired of praying for you. Hello? Jesus took the best of his pastors, Peter, James, and John, and he said, I have a big task to face. I need to reverse. I need to redo what Adam did to humanity. Stay with me for 1 hour. So the Bible says Jesus went a bit forward. Luke 22 from verse 39. Jesus went a bit forward and he was praying. And when he prayed for some time, he came back his best man. Best. Peter, James, and John. If somebody will sleep, it will be Uncle Bartholomew. Because even in church, Bartholomew sleeps. Sorry, Bartholomew. When I go to heaven, he will give me a knock. Hello? His best men, the people he knew, they will never sleep. He came back and they were sleeping. Which stands to reason that in life, you must put some things under your own care. You must be responsible for certain actions. You must not relegate your prayer life to other people that be praying for me. I'll pay you. Hey, it gets to a time you must hold the bull by the horn. You must pray your own prayer. Tell someone to pray your own prayer. Coming out, he went. Hello, are you there? Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed. And his disciples also followed him. 40. We are going to 46. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. And he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Go ahead. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven. This year, you shall have angelic activities around you. Amen. I said, you shall have angelic activities around you. Amen. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. In the time that you are weak, you are down. Say, Pastor, I am just down. I can't read my Bible. I can't just pray. In learn how to pray is to pray. Because in that prayer, an angel of the Lord that strengthens will come and strengthen you. May you be strengthened. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. I thought that when he was in pain, when he looked at the picture of what he was about to go through, you just give up and go and sit at home. But the Bible said he prayed more earnestly, so much so that his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. That other person, are you giving up or you are praying? Then he said to him, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Praise be to God. So, by this scripture, you must pray your own prayer. You must not rely on people to pray with you, else they will sleep. Hello? Like the way some people are already sleeping in the service. You will sleep. That's a classic example of people who sleep during church service. By that prayer, we can see that prayer must go past your emotional limit and weakness to produce the desired results you want. There are some people, when they are praying, then they say, my legs. Then they kneel. Say, hey, of late, I'm becoming heavy. Look at how my knee is paining me. Then they go and lie down. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, Satan, I thank you. Oh, sir, Jesus, I cancel that one. I cancel Satan, I don't thank you. Yeah, I take my thank you back. Once you are in that sleeping position, you will sleep. Prayer must go beyond your emotional strength, and limit. That is the only way you will touch something in the spirit for a response in your life. Are you hearing me at all? Are you still there? Yes. So Jesus prayed on his knees for every hour he spent in prayer. He goes and prays on his knees, comes back, he sees them sleeping, he goes back on his knees. Not that he's not feeling pains, but what he's after is more important than the pains he's feeling in his body. So, Pastor, why you make us stand for 30 minutes for us to pray? My legs are paining me. And you are 26 years, 7 months. You're already tired in your legs. You are already tired in your legs. You see, once you are conscious about that, you are not consumed with your focus. Are you hearing me? I'm just talking about some of the impediments of prayer. You are so aware of your surroundings. You are praying and you had an eye contact with a beautiful lady. Right there, you don't sweat anymore. The prayer that we are praying, we are clapping our hands. Oh boy, he's not sweating. He wants to please the babe. You are in trouble. You are in trouble. Because you see a babe, you forgot that you apply cologne or perfume. So you sneak out like you are going to use the washroom. Well, apply cologne and now you are in the lane of the lady. You are in the lane. Don't ask me how I know. You are passing where the ladies, you are just passing there. Your emotions are stronger than your prayer life. Are you still there? Jesus prayed till his sweat pores gave way to the flow of blood. That's intense prayer. By this same prayer, we can establish that there are issues that God will not take out of your way, but he will only give you grace to empower you to go through the challenges, because in every problem carries your promotion. So no problem, no promotion. As Jesus was praying, an angel came down. The angel didn't come to hold Jesus' hands and said, leave Gethsemane, let's go to the palace. Leave Gethsemane, let's go to heaven. He came to empower him. That's why when you are going through certain things and you go to the pastor, instead of the pastor praying against the thing, he's rather counseling you how to manage the situations that you are going through. Because without problems, we cannot see your promotion. Hidden in every problem is your promotion. Hello? So because Jesus must go through the suffering of death, when he went through, that's why the Bible said God has promoted him to the highest of place and has given him a name that is bigger and greater than every other name. So that at the mention of the name Jesus, every knee must bow, of peace in heaven, of peace on the earth, and of peace under the earth. Shout yes! So there are some things that you are going through. The things will not leave your way because you are a child of God. Once you keep praying, God is going to send an angel to empower you to go through it. You must go through it. Tell somebody, I don't know what you're going through, but God said you go through it. Amen. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death. He said, yea, though I flew over the valley of shadow. Yea, though I walk through it. The valley of shadow, I'll fear no evil, for he is with me. He didn't abandon you. As you're going through the tough times, God is still with you. And in this tough time, you not only come out, you take over. Shout amen like you are hearing me. Amen. So prayer invited an angelic being to come down and strengthen Jesus to continue praying and stay in prayer even after his victory over death. God is calling us back to the place of prayer. I don't know if you have ever doubted God is calling you. Today, I'm telling that God is calling you to the place of unceasing prayer. A place where you are connected to the life of God. A place of constant touch and intimacy with your master. Shout, I'll pray. Prayer, like we know it, is the medium of getting God involved in the affairs of humanity. No matter what you are going through, prayer can change it. The one who shouted amen, let it be so in your life. No matter what you are going through, forget about the things that people are saying on social media. Forget about the things you read from somebody who is backsliding. God's prescription for change of story is prayer. When you go to a doctor and you are sick, he diagnoses you and prescribes the drugs that he knows will help you. And God is saying that the drug to help you is what? Prayer. Shout, I will pray. Jesus demonstrated that prayer is as important to your destiny as breathing is as important to your life. To make meaningful impact, you need to subscribe to serious prayers. You see, once an individual stops breathing for some time, he or she will die. You can be born again or born against. You can decide that I don't believe in God. It doesn't have anything to do with believing in God or not. Once your breath is held back and you cannot breathe anymore, you will not even be up to 10 minutes, you'll die. You don't get to 10 minutes, you'll die. That is how prayer is. Anyone who has stopped praying, temporarily, your destiny is dead. Hello? Your destiny is what? It's dead. For you to make any meaningful impact, you must be connected to your place of prayer. You cannot take fish out of the sea and expect it to live. Hello? You cannot take fish out of the sea and lay your hands on the fish. Kobolomo palabasaya. Live. It will not live. Because you have taken the fish out of its habitat. The only place that we are able to function, people of God, is when we remain prayerful. Give the Lord a clap of it. Hello. That is why a church that you can trust is not only a church that preaches the word of God, but it's also a church that prays. Jesus said, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Forget the prophetic direction and those things. Once there's no prayer in the church, those things, yeah, it's just distraction. But when there is prayer and those things come to add to it, you have a chance in life. Because the body of Christ cannot be alive without prayer. Your business cannot be alive without prayer. Don't lie to yourself. Can I tell you something? I was telling those who came on Wednesday that when we were young, we attended school with some people. And those people, we saw them as rich people. When their parents are coming to drop them in school, sometimes it's a whole spectacle. We have to stand and watch how they come out from the car. Then their daddy is like, take good care of yourself, Jimmy. Say, yes, Dad. Then we too, we are there. We imagine it. The car they used to come and drop us in school, we imagine the car. But when we were growing up, we saw that when their father died, everything died in the family. Why? Because their father used his strength, his intelligence, to acquire wealth. It is good. He has his own place. But there is no spiritual bearing to it. So now that he is dead, everything he has acquired by flesh must also die. I get my point. So if you also make it in a family, you to work hard, be disciplined, use your intelligence to acquire your own wealth. But when you add prayer to it, your wealth is now having a spiritual dimension to it. So you can die and go, but the spirit that makes one to progress is still in the family. So their father used to be a lawyer. When the man died, the way they started suffering, you wonder, their father used to be rich, because everything he had, the Bible said, by strength shall no man prevail. Strength has its own limit. Hello? We'll come to that. The Bible said, whatever thing the Lord does, it shall be forever. That's how come we must pay the price for prayer. You must get everything you want to get in life through the vehicle of prayer, because that is where longevity is guaranteed. Give the Lord a clap of hands. Are you understanding it at all? Can we continue?
prayer is that permit that allows you to have access to the realm of the spirit so that you can have God do for you what you can't do for yourself. Amen. What is required to grant you permission into another country is your passport. When you've ever entered into another country, once you are at the airport, the checkpoint, they say, yes, your passport. They don't ask you, yes, your GSS certificate, because it is nonsense at that particular that particular instance. No, your ACCA certificate does not matter. You can have many certificates. So I am a professor from Harvard. You said, professor, please shut up. Can we see your passport? Because the only thing that will allow you entry into this country is passport. What gives you access into the spirit realm, where you get connected to your maker, is not wishes. It's not tears. That God, can't you see my tears? No. What gives you access to your maker is prayer. It's prayer. What gives you access to the spirit world, where you can invite spirits, interact with spirits, to be stronger than any flesh and blood, even like a spirit, like the spirit of favor. For you to have that spirit upon you, you must be a prayerful person. So it's prayer that is your passport at the gate of the supernatural. Once you have prayer, you can access the realm of the supernatural. Are you getting the picture clearly? Anything that succeeds is standing in your way of prayer can succeed in killing you. Nothing else should be strong enough to make you lose your prayer life. If your problem is sleep, once we are leaving this place, before this service, put down the mantle of sleeping on the altar of God. That God, I love sleep. There's a lady that told me, Pastor, I love sleeping. The way she was saying with Pastor, she said, Pastor, I like to sleep on my mattress till there is hole in the mattress. You know that you sleep on one side, then you say that place is like a valley. Say, I say when I sleep and it's like that, I like it. I told my this girl, there's a demon worrying the girl. But anyone who loves sleep will be poor. It's in the Bible. If sleep is the reason you are not praying before you leave this place, offload. Can I put it on the altar? The Father, the covenant I have with sleep, I've broken it. Hello? Yours is friends. The time that you want to pray, you remember, you have to call your friend so that you will meet. You've been meeting 2019, 2020, 2021, this year, no meeting. All the things that you must discuss, you have already discussed them. If there's any way your life will change, it would have changed by now. This year, if it is friends standing in your way, you must advise yourself. You must what? Advise yourself and make time for your maker. Maybe your own is sex. I'll not talk much about that one. Amen. I don't know what is standing in your way. Maybe yours is work. Pastor, I'm very, very busy. I'm very, very, very busy. I'm very, very, very busy. The lady that I just spoke to you about, the one that when they did their diagnosis, say her condition is 0.1% of the population of the world. And it affects over 65-year-old people. Now she's home. She's a busy woman. Busy. Nobody can be busy than that lady. But when the enemy now targeted her work, she's looking for pastor. Do you know she had a dream? She said, Pastor, I had a dream. I came up from an uncompleted building. And I saw very beautiful buildings. And I was excited. And the man that was working with me said, this is all you know to do. You are only interested in the nice things. You've forgotten me who gives the nice things. I said, God is telling you that you must restore your relationship with him. Pastor, my work is very, very busy. Let me tell you the truth that you don't know. God forbid, when you fall sick today, somebody's CV is with the HR. They'll call the person to come for an interview in the evening so that tomorrow they'll employ the person. Hello? Don't let anything take the place of prayer in your life. The Muslims know how to do it better than us.
Even if it is washroom, they'll put a mat there. Hold their ear. Fire them. They don't care. They have made up their mind that nothing will come between them and their God. And for you to fire them, they'll say, Allah has permitted it. Because if Allah has not permitted it, you can't sack them. You see, they are devout. They have an understanding we don't have. We only pray when there are problems. Say, Pastor, when I go to the toilet, blood comes out from number one and number two. Blood are just coming out. I said, let's pray. I said, Father, in the name. I said, then an angel of God showed me an occult gun. I said, you are fighting with occult in your office. See, Pastor, what should I do? I said, wait, and I'm very busy. I'm very busy. So we'll meet next week Thursday. I'm telling you the gospel truth. Next week Thursday is when I have time for you. Do you hear me? He said, yes, I'll come with my husband. So you can come with your family. I don't care. Now that she's sick, she's making time for prayer. Don't be that kind of a person. Give the Lord a clap of hands. Don't use work as an excuse. Yours is children. Pastor, the children that God has given me, they are ninjas. Because of that, I can't pray. You must make time and pray. Amen. As for your own, yours is movies. When you start season one, until you finish season four, you don't come into the land of the living. You are in another cloud. Don't let movie take your time of prayer. The way people are laughing, I see that. So we have prayer to pray. We must bind the spirit of loving movies. Amen. You must begin to lay them aside so that you can press forward in prayer. Philippians chapter 3, 13 to 14. Philippians chapter 3, 13 to 14. How many of you remember the testimony I gave about a lady that she was not giving birth? And she had a dream and she saw me with some doctors. And then in a dream, she was cut. And then some things were taken out of her abdomen. Then a few weeks after that, she got pregnant. And after some months, when the doctor performed the scan, the doctor said, when did you perform surgery that you did not tell me? Then she said she didn't tell the doctor. Because even she told the doctor, you will not believe it, that the surgery was performed in her dream. Hello? The doctor, that's the woman I'm talking about. That's the woman I'm talking about. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Verse 14. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. Luke chapter 16, verse 16. Tell us, it is time to press forward. Luke 16, 16. In the NIV. Can I get this in the NIV for emphasis sake? Glory be to God. It says that the law and the prophets were proclaimed until John the Baptist. Since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God is being preached. And everyone is forcing his way into it. Is forcing his way into it. The kingdom of God is not easy. So once you become easy, you find yourself in trouble. You must force your way by the vehicle of prayer. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Say, keep quiet. Say, I'll not keep quiet. You must force your way to be on the list of God's generals. Hello? He said, Have mercy on my daughter. Jesus was not minding her. Then the disciples came and said, there's a woman calling you. He said that the daughter is demoniac. Then Jesus opened the mouth and said, I cannot give the children's bread to dogs. Because she was not a Jew. Jesus' assignment was for only the Jews. That's what God sent him to do. He said, I'll not give healing to foolish women. People who don't like me. They only come around because they need deliverance. Then the woman opened her mouth and said, even dogs feed on the crumbs of bread that comes from the table. Say, wow, what a great faith. She does not want the bread, though, just the crumbs. This woman's faith. And she's not even offended by what I have said. He said, because of what you have said, your daughter is made whole. And she received a healing. She forced her way into the kingdom of God and his benefit. Force your way. Force your way. Hello? One thing I put at the back of my head is that once somebody believed God and made it, hey, me, Daniel. Because Jesus said, if Sodom and Gomorrah have heard these things in advance, they already have perished. Do you get my point? You have a model. You have an example of people who have followed God and they are not put to shame. So you have no excuse. God, there's some people, they didn't have any example, but they believed God and God turned their story around. In this year, you force your way into the kingdom of God. You bring your name to the list of generals in your family. Shout amen like thunder. Give it to us in another rendition. Another version. God's law and prophet climaxed in John. Now it's all kingdom of God, the glad news, and compelling invitation to every man and woman. Praise be to God. Everything is answerable to prayer. Mark chapter 7, verse number 7. Mark 7, 7. Are you here today? Mark 7, 7. It says that, ask. You see, some of you, by now, you should know. Matthew 7, 7. I beg your pardon. Matthew 7, 7. Once it says Matthew 7, 7, then you start reciting it. But about Matthew 7, you ask that, is Matthew, is he even in the Bible? Matthew, your word life must increase this year also. Not only your prayer life, but the Bible that you bought that you never opened. Please go and open it. And the Bible that you took from your sister as a bride price, return it. Use your own money to buy Bible. Hello? Use your what? Your own money. If you plan on spending 30 Ghana cedis on food from today to Wednesday, use the 30 cedis, go and buy a study Bible and fast for 3 days and read that Bible. Are you hearing me? Because Matthew 7, 7, you should have recited it. But you are even shocked that Matthew is in the Bible. It should not be like that this year. Be a student of the Bible. Say amen. Amen. Can we go? Ready? Go. Uh-huh. Yes. Uh-huh. 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 Amen. This is the three-dimensional forms of prayer. And nothing beats these three dimensions of prayer. When you ask and God, it looks like the heavens is shut. You have to seek. If you seek and you don't find, you have to knock. And once you get to the knocking stage, the door must open. Asking is a prayer of petition. Asking is saying something to God to have an answer, or you want him to do or give something to you. When you ask God, you are saying, God, I need an answer on this thing. I need you to give me this thing. I want you to do this thing for me. It's called prayer or petition. In asking God for anything, ladies and gentlemen, you have to be specific to have quick answers. I'm giving you a key. If there's anything you forget, don't forget this one. If you ask God for anything, please be specific about what you are asking God for. Amen. Don't tell God, God, I want you to give me a car. Which car? Which car are you talking about? Because keke na pep is also a car. You must be specific. I'll show you why. Mark chapter 10, 46 to 52. You see how God thinks. God does not assume. We human beings, we are quick to assume. But God doesn't assume. He said, God, give me a husband. Give me a husband. Which kind of husband do you want? Do you remember there was a lady in this church? We're having an all-night service. And I told her which kind of man that she wants. She said she wants any kind of man. I said, no, be specific. Go and talk to God and come back. When we prayed for her, didn't the man come or not? The man came. One man called Isaiah. Dark. Maybe that is a taste. So once she went to give God specifications, God now said, oh, okay, Isaiah, bring your head. She needs you. You must be specific. Mark chapter 10, 46. 46. Look at something that will blow your mind. He says, now, that they came to Jericho as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude. Jesus. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. 47. Are you here? And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many want him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. 49. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer. Rise, he's calling you. Verse 50. Look at it now. Look at it. Verse 50. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. The fact that he's blind doesn't mean he does not know that he's wearing tattered cloth. Hello? The fact that you don't have spiritual eyes doesn't mean that when something is wrong in your life, you don't know. So he came to Jesus. Verse 51. So Jesus answered and said to him, Are you watching? What do you want me to do for you? Ah, the man is blind. He is blind. He said, have mercy on me. He said, okay, have mercy on you. What do you want me to do for you? If it was man, you say that, oh, he can see that he's blind. But God does not act like that. He wants you to be specific about your prayer. Specific about your prayer. Say, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. The father, you are saying that, God, I want to travel. Open traveling doors for me. It does not mean to happen. Because Togo is also a traveling door. You must be specific. I want to go to Australia. Hello? Melbourne. Australia. What is Australia? I don't know. Melbourne. Ohio. Ohio is not in Toko. It's not at Benin. Ohio. You must be specific where you want to be at. You must be specific. Because those days we're praying in the bush, our sister Rina, Riri, when the Lord opened my eyes, I said, I see God sending you to the UK by the southern part. You are going to a university there. Which university did she go? Aberdeen. It's at the southern part. Have I been there before? But when God speaks, he speaks with specificity. You must be specific in your demand from the hands of God. Specific. What do you want me to do for you? You can see a blind man, but you are asking. God does not assume. He doesn't. Many years ago, after I endured broken hearts from a romantic relationship which didn't end well for me, I've made up my mind that I'll not get this thing wrong again. So, those times I was working with an oil and gas company. 5 a.m. I wake up, and the purpose is only one. Father, marriage. Open marriage, that door for me. I prayed that prayer many weeks, entering into months. When, I'm preaching, if my pastor is preaching, and my pastor passes a joke about relationship, and it's something that I like, you see me carry my tiny ass from the chair, and I drop a seed on the altar. But one day, the Lord spoke to me and said, which kind of woman do you want? I said, I never said it. I gave God what I wanted. The only thing that God did not add to the list is Dimple. But everything, I'm telling you, I'm standing before God. Everything I wanted, I told God, pep, 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 pep. The only thing I was left is Dimple. So now I hear that they do surgery for Dimple. So we'll go. So they pierce it for you. I even mentioned this one. Like neck, line. I mentioned that one. Check. Details. I'm telling you, I'm not every day. And I said, God, you said, what do I want? You are dead. Point by point. The kind of woman I wanted, I mentioned to God. The only thing, I told her even this morning, said the only thing I said is Dimple. Go and find Dimple.
Praise be to God.
So when you are asking God for anything, you must be specific. Specific. Say you want to drive a car. God, bless me with a car. No. Bless me with 4x4. Which one? Chevy. 2014 model or 2020 model. You must be specific. Praise be to God. Are you still there? Oh, hello. Are you still there? Aside being specific, you need to check your motive. James chapter 4, verse 3. You need to check your motive. Why are you asking God for the things you are asking God? You need to do what? Check your motive. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss. Give it to me in the NIV. That you may spend it on your pleasures. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with what? Wrong motives. That you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So that you are saying, God, I want a good man, a righteous man, a prayerful man. Please, are you prayerful? I'm humbly asking. Are you good? Are you upright? God, Bible said, deep calleth to the deep. Bible said, how can two people walk together unless they agree? You cannot be some way and be asking for something better. That's why before we start fasting, the Bible said, consecrate yourself. Sanctify yourself, therefore, and pray. You see, so that who you are in the past will not affect your request. So when you're asking for anything, check yourself to see if you are like that. Because you are not good. You want someone's daughter who is good. You burn it on your plate. Oh, that is my wife. That is my wife. But you, are you good? Because as you want someone to be an answer in your life, you too, you must be an answer in the person's life. Check your motive. What is your motive like? Say wrong. You do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. God bless me materially. It's a good prayer. Give me a house, give me a car. So that my enemy will see that. God has no proof points. He will bless you anyway. When he's blessing you, so for his glory. His glory. Amen. For his glory. So you must check your motive. When you're asking something and you're not receiving it, check your motive. When you're burning it on your own pleasure, it means selfishness. There's no God factor in there. That's why the man said, my soul, take it easy. You have many days to chill. Take it easy. Then the Lord said, you fool. And the Bible said, he's not rich towards God. He's thinking about himself. Praise be to God. Can we continue? So we are at the seeking stage. Our time is up. This year we said we'll close early. Please give me 10 minutes. Will you? So next week, I'll close 10 minutes late. Amen. Seek is the level of prayer that makes you attempt into looking for what you are looking for. Hello? It's a level of prayer that you don't only ask, but after asking, how do you seek? You seek the mind of God concerning what you are asking him for. So if you are asking for riches, what is the mind of God concerning riches? So now you begin to search his word. I get my point. Well, if you are not searching, he says seek and then you will find. Now that you ask and you don't receive, God wants you to increase your capacity about what you are asking about. You must know its form, how it is, how it must be used, so that you don't abuse it. So you must seek God's mind about what you are asking. And once you are seeking God's mind, the day you find it, you will know. I told you over and over again, how did I meet my wife? She bypassed me. And I knew that the woman who just bypassed me is my wife. But a lot of women have bypassed me that day. Because I was seeking, I can find it. So anything you are asking God for, find out God's mind concerning it. Seek his mind concerning it. As you seek his mind concerning it, you'll find it. You will. Are you getting it? You want to be a multi-millionaire? Look for all the millionaires in the Bible. Look at how they relate to God. Look at how they work with God. Look at how they conduct themselves. God can easily make you a millionaire. How do they conduct? So the Bible says Job, in the East, there's nobody like him. But we found out that Job made sacrifices for his children. If they go for party, they will go and chill. But Job will come to church. God, this is a sacrifice. In case they have said something against you, let this sacrifice speak for them. Are you getting my point? So you know that this is a man, he's sacrificial. He's very mindful about his family life. You cannot be rich and be a millionaire. 6 months, your wife has not seen you. If your wife is sending you a message, say, this woman, she's worrying me. No. You are not ready to be a millionaire. Because you must hold your house in order and hold the work in order. Praise be to God. Okay, let's move on. Praise be to God. All right, the last phase is what? Knock. The purpose of knocking is to attract attention to yourself. Until the door is open, you must not stop knocking. This is warfare. Why do you knock? So that anybody who is in the house, you are giving them a notice that somebody is by the door. And until you hear, yes, I'm coming, you will not stop knocking. Keep knocking. Keep knocking. Keep knocking. Keep knocking. Till you have an answer, don't stop. Don't do what? Don't stop. It talks about warfare. Once you have located the door, that door must open. Until it is open, you must not give up. You must not give up knocking. I've seen that this family, you know, take pen and paper, write. This family traveling is not difficult because my auntie is travel, my uncle is travel, my brother is travel. So it means that traveling is in the family. You get my point? This family, people don't get married. Okay, it should be on the right. This place, as for children here, when you allow, you give birth like sea sand. So children is no problem. So the things that are problems, they are doors that have not yet been opened. Are you getting my point? Then you take them one after the other. That in the name of Jesus, let the door of traveling be opened unto me. I'm traveling to the US of A. Let that door be open. Though it has not been open to anybody, let it be open unto me. You keep knocking, knocking, knocking until it is open. Say, and knock, and it will be what? To you. Someone else will not knock, and the door will be open unto you. You will knock, and the door will be open unto you. Please, are you getting me? Yes. So, you cannot faint. You cannot say, Pastor, I am tired of praying. I feel like giving up. Because when you say you are tired and you have given up, being tired and giving up will not open a door. Hello? When you want to serve God and you are prayerful, you must not have another option. Being tired is another option. God, it must be God and God alone. So that King, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. Our God is able to save us from the fire. Even if he decides not to save us, we will still not bow to your golden image. We don't have plan B. Plan A. Either the door opens or it opens. Hello? You're going to say, I'm tired. I've prayed. You are tired. You have prayed. You have sat at home. Has he opened any door? No. No. Praise be to God. Oh, are you still there? Luke chapter 11, 5 to 10. Luke chapter 11, 5 to 10. And Jesus said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Verse 6. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. When did a friend go? Midnight. Right? Midnight. And you answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his word, the prayer that works is a prayer that is persistent. The prayer that works is a prayer that does not give up. Praise be to God. Yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many he needs. Verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. So Jesus preached this thing in the first scripture we read. Matthew 7, 7. In another church service, he came back repeating the same steps. That there is no other way. You must ask, it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock, and the door is open. When you are tired on your own problems. Keep persisting. Call unto God. If he does not open the door, call, keep calling. You weary God. Say, no, no, no. I plan I will not give this thing to him. But he has changed my mind. God said he was going to destroy the Israelites because they have gone to worship another God because they are disobedient. Moses said, God, change your mind. Say, I will not change. Say, God, if you destroy them, wipe my name out of the book of life. Wipe my name. Do you know what God said? God told Moses, leave me alone. Leave me alone. That means the guy was holding God. Jacob has used intelligence. He got married to two wives. He had animals. But he felt within himself that he's not yet fulfilled. You see, you can have car. Those who are driving, they tell you. Some people who are even married will tell you. Some people are married, but they are not happy. They are not fulfilled. Something is missing. Then Jacob said, he allowed his family to go ahead, his property to go ahead. Then he was praying. Then he saw a man. And he knew that that man was God who came on earth to visit somebody. He said, sir, good morning. He said, good morning. He said, you must bless me. So, no, no, no. I'm not here because of you. He said, hey, if you don't bless me, I'll not let you go. But say, he wrestled. You can carry God's word at midnight. If you are in the house alone, naked yourself. Now, my maker, you must speak in this season. You must speak. Last year, I trusted you, but I did not see your hand. If you don't bless me, then kill me. Because the shame and embarrassment is too much. Put your stomach down. Cry to God. Cry and let your neighbors call you Osofu Mami. They should call you Archbishop Pope. Pray to God until you pray yourself out of that condition. Because persistence is the only thing that changes stories. When you see a man whose story is changing, when you catch him doing something secret, he is bombarding the gates and the windows of heaven with strong prayers. Strong prayers. Strong prayers. One day, I was on campus with Barbara, and a man was passing. When the man saw me, the man said, hey, you, I know you. You attended school here. You used to pray in that bush. Now you are all over, and you are still praying. The Lord bless you. I said, sell him. He said, don't worry. You like praying. We are praying that people know us with prayer. But we have not even started. You must bombard. Because if looking from where you are coming from, you are intelligent. You are not a lazy man. But it looks like anywhere you go, the road is blocked. Anywhere you go, the road is blocked. Say, hey, God, you want to disgrace me in this life? Either you bless me or you kill me. I was somewhere, you said I should come on earth. Bless me or kill me in this room. That's the mentality that changes stories. Not the one that you go and you have, and maybe he'll do it, maybe you know. No, 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 no. You must be resolute in your spirit. First of all, take your bath. Sleep in the afternoon. Take your bath. Put in a damreku. Put in some worship. Worship him first. Say, Father, I've given you your worship. Now, talk to me. I am your son. I'm struggling. I can't marry. Now that I've gotten married, I can't take care of my children. What is happening? Did you bring me to disgrace me? God, you must speak. See, talk to you like the way you talk to your close friend. Pour out your heart to him. Today, if he does not open, if he does not say it, tomorrow, be on the case. Are you hearing me? Be on it. Somebody came to Dash S
euros during the Christmas season. And the man of God came into our mind. So we went to sow the euros to the man of God. And he was doing Facebook Live. That particular man of God, an elderly man. And he said it in church. I was watching. He said he was praying at home for a particular money during the Christmas season. He needed money. The koko, someone came. And the money that the person gave is the exact money that he was praying to God for. And I said, so everybody, the church that he's a pastor, the people are plenty. You think that everybody has come to visit him at Christmas, has given him something, but nobody came. When we got the euros, we said, oh, we are going. That means that he prayed to God and God spoke to our hearts. Can I tell you something? When people give you money, it does not mean that they don't have relatives that need money more than you. It does not mean that they don't have needs. They don't know what to use money for. It is God that speaks to the heart of people to give to you. But when a man decides to marry you, it's because God has spoken to his heart. Because before you came, he has met green, blue, violet, yellow, dark. And those kind of things come in the place of prayer. Because of time, let me summarize something. Do you know why prayer is very important? Because anything that comes from the spirit realm lasts. When your results come from the place of prayer, nothing can destroy it. If you don't pray, you can achieve some things in life. But before you die, before your very face, the things will start crumbling down. Because by strength shall no man prevail. Because anything you do with strength, there is somebody in life stronger than you who will take over what you have worked for. But if it is given to you by God, nobody is stronger than God to take from you what God has given to you. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 14. Send me the video. Alaji, whatever. Banda. On his hospital bed, his wife came with papers. Where is my weed? Where is my property? The man is not dead, though. The wives have taken it that he's already dead. What can be painful than that? You are alive. They are crying for properties. They are not crying for you to be alive. Those are wives. What about the children? So they'll start killing each other. Amen. I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Forever means forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it that men should fear before him. Give the Lord a clap of it. Whatever the Lord does. So when God opens a door of prosperity to you, let the witch in your family drink the blood of presidents. They cannot bring you down. They can't. But if it is a door that's opened by your own strength, someone stronger than you will take it from you. That is why we must pay the price of prayer. Praise be to God. So Luke chapter 18, in closing, the scripture we read, Jesus said, men always ought to pray and not to faint. There's a woman, Jesus gave the worst scenario, that a judge does not fear God, does not regard men. But when the woman kept going, because she persisted, the man had conscience. Somebody who does not fear God or regard men had conscience and said, if I don't do the woman's wish, she's going to weary me. Another person said, she's going to drive me crazy. So let me do it for him. Then he says, if a man who is very insensitive to people and God can change his mind, God is not that wicked. When you are persistent, you see your change. Amen. The prayer that works, it's a prayer that is persistent. Because it takes persistence to break every form of resistance. 12-year issue of blood. She came to church. Her focus is one. I don't have to meet the pastor. I don't have to talk to Jesus. If I only touch the hem of his garment, this illness will go. And because she had issue of blood, she will be stinking because blood has been coming off from her every now and then. And according to the Jewish law, once you are even menstruating, you are not supposed to come among people. But she is not menstruating. This is menstruating pro max. 12 years seeing blood every day. When she was coming, they were pushing her away. But she has made up her mind that until I receive my turnaround, this service will not close. So she went, touched the hem of his garment, and she was walking away. She said, someone has touched me. So everybody touched you. Say, the one who touched me, virtue left me. I felt that power left me. Your prayer must make it that heaven will begin to lose virtue. Hello? They will see that the pages of a book, nobody has turned it over. God didn't turn it over. An angel didn't turn it over. Then it just turned over. Say, whose prayer? He said, oh, Mimi's prayer. The prayer has entered into heaven. The prayer has developed us. And flipped the page. Said, because I came in the volumes of the book. Father, I've been on this particular page for a very long time. I need to see what is in the next page. Your prayer can flip the pages of your book. Give the Lord a clap of praise. Men always ought to pray and not lose heart. How do we know that you are serious with your change? When you take fasting seriously. When a church says, a command, let's all fast for 21 days fasting and prayer. You too, you'll be part. You give up everything and be part of the prayer meetings. It's a sign that you want to be persistent with your prayer. No matter where you are in life, there's a place better than where you are. And this year, we are taking over. I say we are taking over. Give the Lord a clap of your rise to your feet. Matthew chapter 5 verse 6. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled. Now tell God, God, I am thirsty to know you more. I'm thirsty to be a prayerful person. Fill me with a virtue of prayer. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. I say, God, let the hunger of prayer be impacted to my spirit. The disciples came to Jesus and said, teach us how to pray. They said, teach us how to perform miracles. Teach us how to prophesy. Teach us how to pray. Because once you are prayerful, every other thing will follow. Say, Father, put a great desire of prayer on my spirit. Let me approach it differently for this year. In the name of you, go ahead and pray right now. Go ahead and pray right now. Go ahead and pray right now. Go ahead and pray. Baptize me. You
made a way. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you have been blessed, uplifted, and transformed by the Word of God. Kindly subscribe to our podcast. And as well, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Peacekeepers Assembly and on Twitter at Peacekeepers International for more updates. Or call our office on 054-6764-890. God bless you.